Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
We're back with another Utopia Talks. Jaguar and KJ Baxter here with you. And today's guest is a dear friend who just happens to be one of my favourite artists on the planet, actually. The last couple of years, she's taken the world by storm. She's hands down one of the best DJs I know. And she knows how to play exactly the right tune at exactly the right time. Do you know what I mean? She released her debut album, Capricorn Sun, on Ninja Tune last year. She's launched her live show this summer with sets at Primavera and Field Day. And she's been nominated for a Grammy. So there you go. Please welcome Tisha. Yes.
Hey.
Really awkward.
That was so awkward, but really cute and very sweet. And thank you so much. That was such a sweet intro. I appreciate
it. You were
that.
Just like dying.
Yeah. It compliments and make me like proper squirm, like. I don't know what to do with myself.
Look, I'm actually the same.
I'm like, stop it. Just say something mean about me. It's better.
I wouldn't have anything to say. But yeah, welcome to the podcast. You okay?
Yes. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's always nice, like, interviewing a friend. It's kind of weird, but I do quite like it.
I think it's cute. It's nice. It's more comfortable, isn't it? You know?
I think so. So, there's so much. Where do we begin? I think, well, we mentioned it. You were nominated for a Grammy.
Kind of, yeah. I was. Technically, I was.
Recognition as a producer on Diplo's
album.
I did write
a song with Diplo. So, yeah, and that was nominated for a Grammy. So, I get a certificate saying, you know, you were involved in the Grammys, you were a producer on a Grammy nominated album, which feels amazing. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Like, that's insane.
It's unreal. Have you found a place for it yet where you're going to keep it?
No, not yet. I'm going to get framed, but I haven't got around to it because, you know, it's just long getting stuff framed.
Oh God,
yeah, it takes forever. It's like everything just sits on the side for ages. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going to put it. Maybe I'll put it in the bathroom just so everyone has to look at it when they go to the toilet.
Yeah, I like that.
You should.
Pride of place.
I know, like you said, you squirm when you get compliments, but seriously, well done in all the things that you have done and are doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Like, I'm very, very proud.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, okay. So we have so much to get into. I really want to start with kind of how you started DJing. And because you've mentioned before that you had like this mobile DJ set up and lights and used to go to weddings and just set the scene. Take us back there.
So when I dropped out of uni, that's when I decided to start DJing because like, long story short, my older brother used to be a DJ. So that's why I was like interested in dance music and DJing. So I bought a cheap like little controller and I started practicing and I had some lessons with a DJ called Melody Kane. She used to be on radio. And then like, you know, continued practicing, but I couldn't like get any gigs basically. Like it was impossible with no one, you know, if no one knows who you are, like they won't even give you a chance, even if you send them a mix. And I needed to make money. So I was like, let me mobile DJ, you know, like let me just, this will help fund everything I want to do. I only have to work the weekends. But to do that, you kind of have to have all the equipment yourself. So initially I bought like very cheap like lighting. Initially it was called like a gig bar.
Okay.
And which had like everything in it. It had like lasers, strobe, all in one, like in one thing.
Bubble machine.
Yeah. It was like literally like, it's actually a really, really good like bit of equipment. Like,
Do you still have it? Do you wheel it out?
No, I actually sold it. But it took me a long time to sell this stuff because I had that. I had a DJ booth like that you like build up. I had like a full PA system. And then later on I got these really expensive lights that were called like Warlocks, which were like proper like industrial like type things. They were like really heavy, like, and so I had two of them as well. And yeah, and then I just emailed like a bunch of like mobile DJ agencies, website, put myself on them and like just like sent mixes, said what equipment I had, blah, blah, blah. And eventually I started to get on a few that sent me a few gigs. My first gig was like a 13-year-old's birthday party.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
What did you play at that one?
You know, they wanted like top 40 stuff and like a bit of, you know, cheese and stuff like that. And then I started, I'd get weddings, and then I got some, started getting like corporate things like Christmas, you know, parties and stuff like that. And then also I did like stuff like bar gigs as well, you know, like just around London. I used to do like Dirty Martini and like a few other places. There was a few like little bars in like Camden and stuff that I would DJ at. But I used to get quite a lot of stuff because I was like, there was a few other like female DJs on some of the agencies, but I was the only one that had the equipment and would carry the equipment, you know, because it was, to be fair, like pretty heavy, the stuff. But I bought this like amazing, I'm so nerdy about the equipment, because back in the day, this is the highlight of my life back in the day, was buying this like rock and roll, it's called rock and roller trolley thing. It was like made in Germany, and it like folds down, and then you open it up and I pull it out and it has like wheels on it and you can put all your equipment on it and like wheel it. And it was so sturdy and it like saved my life, because before I would have to go in and out of like from the car, like carry each bit. God. Like, and this one, I could load most of it on just one thing and then just like push it all the way, you know, like into the venue or something like that. And I was so excited about that. And it took me a long time to sell that because it was such a good purchase. Like, I was like, this is how, you know, when you start to get old, because you start finding like functional things like really impressive. Like, yeah. If you buy something that's actually useful, you're like, this is great. I love this. So
when you're playing at like field day, you're actually the person like pushing all your stuff.
Imagine.
It's like wheel you on.
Anything that makes my life easier now, I'm like, oh, this is such a great bit of equipment. Like, yeah.
Oh, I just have this image of you just literally, because TJ, you're like, you're quite small, and then you've got all these like massive bits of gear.
It was really heavy.
Lugging it around the country.
It was heavy, but I used to go to the gym a bit. So, and nice. I did notice that when I was like lifting weights, that like the more and more I did it, the more like lifting the speakers up onto the stand, because that was the hardest bit, was like going from the floor up and then putting it up high. The more and more I lifted weights, the more and more like that got easier. And I remember one time I was like, just went really quick and I was like, ooh, I'm getting strong like that. And then as soon as you stop going to the gym, you're like, trying to get up. But yeah, it was an interesting time. You learn a lot doing like weddings and stuff, like, because you're not like, you know, as a DJ now, you kind of are in a position where you kind of made to feel like you're like the star of the show, or you're this or that or whatever, whereas like when you're doing that, you really are providing a service to people, and you have to kind of give people what they want and make sure people are having, I mean, you always have to make sure people are having a good time, but it's like you can't be selfish about it, you know. You can't be like, I'm not playing this because I don't like this or whatever. So it's a humbling experience as well as like a learning thing. I'm learning how to cater to so many different age groups, because I had such a big music library when I was doing it, like literally like nearly like 100,000 tracks or something ridiculous like that, because I had every era.
Yeah,
like, and then also I'd get the odd booking and be like, can you do this Indian Punjabi wedding, and then they'll want like a bunch of Punjabi songs. So then I have to research and be downloading a lot of that, so I have like just all these different folders of like different stuff that suit, you know, different cultures or different things. Yeah, you know, you're playing to the grandma, you're playing to the toddler, you're playing, you know what I mean? There's certain age range. So you have to get all your history of your back catalogue as well. And then every time there's a new release in the week, you have to get that, because obviously they want to hear what's in the charts that week at their wedding or at their birthday party and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Did you ever, like, are there any memorable weddings, like funny stories that stand out to you now, or have they all just kind of blurred into one? Like, were there any mad things that happened or mad requests?
No, do you know what? Nothing too mad. They do kind of blur into one, but I do remember that what was interesting, the last wedding I played, I was releasing music, And I was actually, when Sacred came out, I was still doing some weddings and stuff. And but the couple that booked me for my last wedding, they knew, they'd followed me on Instagram and stuff, so they knew I'd released music, and they asked me to play Sacred when I was there, which was really cute. Oh,
that's so nice.
And they were the last wedding I ever played, and they like, and that, and every few like years they would be like, oh, it's our wedding anniversary, and they messaged me like, oh, we remember you played our wedding, we're so lucky. And I was like, oh, that's so cute, like, because because they knew, and then they've been following me and seeing what I've been doing, which is so sweet.
Yeah, to be fair, you don't expect your wedding DJ to get a Grammy nomination.
Like, that's actually even that 13-year-old, when you said your first ever gig was 13-year-old's birthday, that might be a fan of you by now.
Yeah,
all grown up.
Probably not.
They probably don't know it's you.
They're probably listening to like, I don't know, like some drill rapper now or something like that.
What the kids like. Yeah. But you're getting married soon.
Yes.
Are you gonna DJ at your own wedding?
No, absolutely not. No. Yeah. I'm having a good time. I don't want none of that. I've got a DJ and they're going to take care of everything for me. And yeah, I just want to have fun. I do have fun DJing, I'm not saying that, but I just don't want the...
Yeah, you don't want it to be about that.
No, I just want to just enjoy myself for the night, you know?
I rate that. I think whenever I have like a birthday party or anything, I just get my friends to DJ. I'm like, you do it. I'm going to get drunk.
Yeah, like you want to just like,
it's your turn to heckle with loads of annoying requests.
Yeah, and also I'm at my wedding. I'm not playing, like, I'm not, because everyone's like, what are you going to have? Like, because you're a DJ or whatever, they expect you to like be, try to do something really headsy. I'm like, I'm not, no, my mum's there. Like my, you know what I mean? Like I want to hear 2000s classics. I want a bit of, you know, Usher. I want Christina Aguilera.
Absolutely.
And I want, you know, Free From Desire. I want all the classics. Do you know what I mean? I want to sing really badly, really loudly to some cheesy music and remember my youth. You know,
cling on to the youth.
Cling on to my youth. Some garage classics.
Yes!
Oh, yes.
You know, I want all of that, you know, and the Candy song at some point.
Oh, yeah. You know, I still don't know the dance.
I can teach you, don't worry. Okay. We'll do it at the wedding.
Okay. I'll start learning.
You'll have it down. We'll get it. It's very easy.
Thank you. You know, me and Helena have like, because we both don't know the dance, we have like existential.
Oh, I've got you. I'll teach you and then you can teach, because Helena won't be there, obviously.
Yeah, true.
But I'll teach you and then you can teach her.
Okay, great. Yeah. And we can teach the baby.
You'll never have to worry about it again. You'll every time it comes out, you'll be like, I know this. I've got this.
I've got visions of you like at home, like staring in the bathroom mirror, like trying to like learn.
It's not that hard. And also,
I know, but I
mean, my partner's family, like half, like loads of his family are American, and they're coming, and because they call it the electric slide, that's what it
it's
actually
got a name.
Is. It's the electric slide, that's what it is, yeah. They like know it like down to the T, so you'll get it.
On YouTube, okay, electric slide tutorial. Yeah.
But, you know, you mentioned that you have, like your background is like, you mentioned like you're providing a service as a DJ at these events. And I think I think you can tell when DJs who have had that like training that background, like really doing so many different kinds of gigs, playing to all different kinds of people. Like I have a similar background. Like I used to play like when I'm from the Channel Islands. So I used to play like 70th birthdays and 50th birthdays. And then I was a resident at Heaven for a long time. And then just a lot of DJing anywhere that would have me. And not everyone has that route. I guess that's more of like a traditional DJ route, isn't it? Some people do that and then they work their way up. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because nowadays, you can have a tune that gets really big so quickly. And
then you're a DJ.
Yeah. And no shade to people that happens to, but it's like a different kind of thing. And suddenly you can be thrown into it and having these massive gigs. But you might have been DJing for 5 minutes.
It's true, yeah. It is interesting because I guess then you're learning in the spotlight there, which is nothing wrong with that. But yeah, it's a different, you might approach it in a different way because, yeah, you've had a big song and now you're the star. And then, yeah, you haven't really necessarily done your homework yet on how to cater to the crowd a little bit. You know, I'm not saying, I don't always cater, like I'm not someone that will play something I hate. You know, I mean, obviously I did when I was mobile DJing, I'll just play what people needed. But like, I still will like, you know, I'm not a big tech house fan. So, but I will still throw, if I find a good groovy tech house, I think this is actually a good tune, I will throw it in there because I know people like it. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, this is, you know, what people want to hear. So I think that takes a while to learn. And I think, yeah, a lot of people are going to have to learn that kind of in the spotlight, which is interesting. Or maybe they won't learn it and no one cares because they just drop their big tune and that's what people want to hear.
True, but then eventually people get sick of that tune. So then it's like, maybe you just make another big tune. I don't
it's
know.
True. Depends how good at tune making you are, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like DJing and production are two very different things. But something you, my friend, have managed to master both of those things. Like, I think we should talk about your album because it came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the anniversary almost?
October,
yeah.
Oh, a little while, yeah, a few months.
Yeah, Capricorn Sun. And it's a beautiful album. I remember messaging you, I think at the start of the year, I was in, where was I? Morocco, on this like soul searching trip with my friend. We did like a bus tour into the mountains. And I was listening to The Light and I was just like, it was like sunrise. And it just sounded so good. And I was messaging you like, oh my God, this song is so good. But I feel like a lot of you went into this album.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of work. I think. I mean, albums are though.
How was the whole, because I know it was like stressful.
It was stressful because I had a lot on that year in general, I think, because I did the Fabric compilation that year as well. And then I was doing the album and then I had a heavy touring schedule. And then like, you know, there was just like a lot going on. And I think for me, I knew albums were hard work, but I don't think I grasped the concept until I was like really in it. I was like, damn, like, why didn't I just say I'd do some EPs? Like, because it's like, it's different to doing an EP or doing something like that, because people want something that like is cohesive. It needs to tell a story. Well, it doesn't need to, but I wanted it to. I wanted it to feel like a piece of me in some way. And that takes a lot, you know what I mean? You know, it was draining. But it was a relief to get it out.
I bet it was.
Yeah. And now I'm starting the whole process again, which is like,
oh. Are you writing another one?
Yeah. I'm gonna do what I don't after I do this one, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Cause my deal with Ninja in the way of like my album commitments will be complete. And then I don't know what I'm gonna do then. I don't know if I'll do it again because it is really stressful and apparently people don't really care about albums that much anymore anyway. And I do, but I've been told they don't.
Seeing how well received it was as well, that must have like been quite encouraging for you to...
It definitely was encouraging. And seeing people like your music is always going to feel good. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it was a lot of work for...
Yeah.
Are you proud of it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I came from like no real big musical background. I have, you know, yeah, I got like come from, I don't, not in like a lame way, but like humble beginnings, you know what I mean? So that was such a far off thing for me and it came so quickly and the fact that I achieved it didn't really matter, to be honest, at the end of the day. After a while, there was a lot of pressure of like, it needs to do well and people need to whatever, but after a while, it was just like getting it out there and completing it was an achievement in itself. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, good. You should be. Do you have a favourite track on that?
Time is my favourite track. Yeah.
Why?
I was just in the studio on my own and wrote that and just kind of was just having fun and experimenting. And it's a song that's not fast enough for, you know, DJing or anything like that. But it's like, got no lyrics, so it's not particularly radio friendly or anything. It's an instrumental, but it's more like I just really enjoyed making the song. Do you know what I mean?
So you associate that with the process of making it?
Yeah, it was fun, and I love how it sounds. I just like, it's just like a, I don't know, it's a very very me. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't trying to please anyone when I wrote it. Like whereas other songs, there's elements of like it needs to sound like this or it needs to be radio friendly or, you know, the label will like it like this a little bit or whatever. Whereas this was just like, because most of the album was complete, I was just like, this was just a bonus. So I was like, I was free to do whatever I want.
Have you started working on the second album?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Does that feel different, like working on a second album when you know you've already done one before and people have already heard an album of your music before? Are you conscious of like trying to make it sound really different or?
I'm not conscious of do you know what? It's gone the opposite way of like where I'm now feeling like a little bit, not rebellious, because that's just, that sounds a bit lame, but like I'm feeling a little bit more like I'm just going to do what I want and then not worry about what people expect from me.
Yeah, that makes a bit sense. Liberated almost.
A little bit, because yeah. Even though usually it's a real bad decision to like not do the thing that people like and you're known for, usually that's a bad decision, because, and it is, like every time someone does that they're like, I'm gonna change my direction, and everyone's like, what the hell is this, I don't like this. But for me it's like, I think it's really important, as it could be my last album, or it might not be, but it could be, that I make sure it's as true to what I actually always wanted to do. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. I think people love that as well. Like, I know it's, as you say, like it is a risk for sure. Like, and it's scary, but I think as like, if I speak from like, as a fan perspective, it's like, love seeing artists do something that feels like authentic. I know that's like such a wanky word, but like seeing people do something that they love and is them as a fan is like, the best.
Yeah, it can be like that, but some fans cannot be the same, think the same way. You know what I mean? Because they like have attachment to like a certain song or a certain sound, and then they're like, "That's not you.
Yeah,
that's not what I like."
Ownership of what,
what you do. Yeah, and I think for it's a tough one, but it's important for me to make sure that this is, feels very like that. No, like I'm proud of Capricorn Sun, but it didn't necessarily like, and it is me, but it isn't me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of complicated, but at this time I want to very much be like, make something that I really love and that doesn't matter.
You're making it for you.
Making it for me. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I have always said that is when people make the best music.
Yeah.
And that first album is fucking great. So,
we'll see. Let's definitely see. We'll see.
Let's see. Well, we're on it, actually. Like, in this album, you have a lot of collaborations on the album, one of them being Mafro, your partner. How do you guys like to work together? How does that work?
We kind of like make bits separate and then go in the room together, and then kind of like I might do the drums and then he might work on something else, and then we come back together and then we work on it together in the room, and then there's a bit of bickering, and then I'll storm out and then come back in, he'll say he's sorry, and then I'll do something, you know, just something like that, and then you say you're hangry, and then we'll go eat, and then
go walk the dog.
Yeah, go walk the dog, come back, finish it. It is kind of like basically like that, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, and I'm like, you need to listen to me when I say it, and he's like, yes, I'm sorry, and then and then I'm saying sorry. I'm like, I'm sorry I snapped at you. You were just asking me in a really annoying way. And like, or like, you were condescending when you said that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's really hard to work with someone that you're like,
I don't know.
With.
I don't think I could do that with my girlfriend, like make a tune or do something creative, because that would happen.
Because the boundaries are really blurred because they know, you know each other so well. There's almost a lack of respect. No, it's really bad.
I know exactly what you mean.
But you mean it's like, it's almost like the way
no filter.
Kind of like how you are with your sibling or something like that. So it's like, if I was in the studio with you when we were working and like you did something, I thought, I'm not sure about that. I might be like, oh, Jag, maybe we should change that a little bit, because, you know, and I'd say it in a really polite way. And I would say like, and I was, you know, I might explain to you why I think that and see what you say and like wait for you to your response and like just be like very diplomatic about it and wouldn't want to upset you. Whereas like when it's your partner, it's more like, you know, you just directly be like, oh, like what? No, I don't like that. Like, stop. Yeah. And then there's like a friction, and then you're like, but you don't give each other the courtesy of like politeness and like worrying about each other's feelings, which is bad actually when you think about it. Because I think all relationships are like that anyway. But
yeah, I think that's very normal.
Very normal. Yeah. But it's like, why do you send these courtesies to your friends or to, you know, strangers, but you don't to the person that you're most close with? It's really weird.
Yeah, I guess you just know each other so well, and like you kind of
feel like you can talk to each other like rubbish.
Yeah. Well, either way, considering all that, you guys have managed to make some great
We make
tunes.
The best music when we work together, and that's why we still do it like when we can. But it's like we have to have like a long talk before we start, like, you know, like, okay, you're not in a bad mood, are you? No, I'm not in a bad mood. Have you eaten? And then, like, you know, and it's kind of like, okay, we have to hold each other and be like, okay, we're going to be good. We're going to be nice to each other. This is going to be good. Okay, we're going to listen. And then go in the studio.
That is so funny. Oh, and he's such a sweetheart.
He is a sweetheart. Apart from when he's like not. Yeah.
Oh.
No, he's a sweetheart. He's a sweetheart, but he can be an ass in the studio, definitely.
Fair. Can't we all?
Yes.
But you've also previously worked with Al Murphy and Kimmy on earlier tunes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm intrigued to how you guys all got to know each other.
Well, Kimmy, I've known for a long time through my friend. We met through my friend, Chelsea, my best friend. And then Kimmy at the time was under a different name, Rita. Mm. She was a singer. She did do some production, but she was different, like more R&B.
And you've
like,
got a track with Rita, which...
Yeah, on my first EP.
What tune is that again?
It was called...
Yeah. Back to You.
Back to You, that's it. Yeah, Thank you.
Good research.
Yeah, that was when she was breaking up with her, one of her exes, and he was... Yeah. He was an ass. Anyway, so she came to the studio and we worked on that. But yeah, I've known Rita for a long time. Rita, Kimmy, sorry. I've known her a long time and I've seen her progress, which is really, you know, wonderful. Like, because before she wasn't really into electronic music, and then she started coming to some gigs and then progressing, and then introduced to my manager who like kind of guided her, and then
full on raven hours are Kimmy.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's definitely done a full circle, because when I met her it was completely different to like now, and it's like seeing the progression's actually been
Kimmy's smashing it.
Yeah, she's like, super
the
talented.
The Wall was amazing.
She's
Know
talented.
Someone is a band.
Yeah, I love her new tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always said to her, I was like, you can sing, you can play instruments, you know, you can produce.
She can play the sax.
She can play the sax, the keys, a bit of guitar. Like, she's got so much, like, going on. She's just, yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah. And Elle?
Elle, I actually met through Mafro, because he used to produce some of, he was, like, producing some of her solo project before, and then spoke to her and was like, oh, you want to come... like do some stuff with me. So we did some writing and yeah, that's kind of how we ended up collaborating.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of collab work or?
No, I'm not.
You're not? Oh, you just do it.
You wouldn't know from your album.
Yeah. No, because it's annoying because you're so reliant on someone else to deliver, like to in that, like they're not on your time schedule on their own, and it's very annoying. And doing instrumental music is so much easier and better because you can just, you're in control of the whole situation, and I like to be in control. Yeah. So it like stresses me out working with other people.
Even that aside, do you have a dream collab that you would like to do?
I think I've always said like FKA Twigs would be really cool.
Yeah.
But that's it really at the moment because, yeah, like I said, collabs are a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you posted a clip of Ellie Goulding and you tag Ellie Goulding and Gregory Porter.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a collab.
That is a collab.
The collab.
It is a collab. Yeah, that is my next single coming, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's great, actually. I'm excited because I really love the song. Like, I love it so much. It's like a down-tempo song. Where it's like a little bit trip-hoppy, a little bit like...
Wow.
Whatever. But the vocals are just so beautiful. Ellie's voice is just... And the lyrics are just so, so good. And Gregory came on the last minute. There was a sample in it and he like resung the sample. So like it kind of all came together and it's just really cool. Yeah, I'm so excited.
I feel like ages ago, didn't like Ellie Goulding like messaged you?
Yeah.
It was like, I'm a big fan of you. I feel like I remember that happening.
Yeah, she did
ago.
Message me. Yeah, wow. Yeah. So she messaged me. So the song was written like a year and a half ago, maybe. I can't remember when it was written, but yeah, she did message me because she liked the song Sister and stuff. And then it was from there. She was like, we should get in the studio at some point. And then her management reached out and then, yeah, they connected and then it happened. Yeah.
That's mad. Yeah. Ellie Goulding.
I know.
Like,
it's insane. Yeah.
Ellie actual Goulding.
And do you know what? It's such an interesting thing working with, obviously everyone I work with is amazing and whatever, but it's like working with someone that's like at that level is like a completely different world in terms of like,
yeah,
how they work. Like they're so professional, like the vocals are always on point, the writing's so quick, like just they just know, like, yeah, it's a whole different, but I can see why you're at the top of your game, because you're a superb songwriter and just, yeah, it's just amazing working at that level.
She did the vocals for that Fortet song.
Yeah,
baby. I think he sampled something. She
A sample?
Right, yeah, like she put something on Instagram and he like sampled it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's mad. Is she into electronic music?
She is. Yeah, very much.
We should get her on.
Yeah. She's into. She's actually into a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, she's very, very cool.
I guess she's done loads of dance
Calvin Harris
as well
in the tracks, didn't she? Mm.
But she's actually into a lot of like more left stuff. Like you'd be surprised, you know. Like obviously she's a big fan of Forte and Jamie XX and like, you know, just all those kind of more alter playlist type people.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's really cool. And she's really nice as well. She was very nice to work with.
Yeah, she seems like a home.
Yeah, she's sweet. And yeah, it was really weird because she came to my studio and my studio was like this tiny little pokey room in like Tottenham. She came down and I was like, she had her engagement ring on, which was like a very big diamond. And I was like, you're in Tottenham.
Put that away.
That was really brave. Like, but she had a driver drop her, but I just saw it and I was like, this is not, I was like, oh my God, I hope no one knows she's here. Like, no, it wasn't really like that. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just kind of funny to see someone with, her come and I was like, damn.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear the tune. I'd love for Ellie Goulding to have like this like techno alias. I can see it as a DJ.
You think she should DJ?
Yeah. Maybe she already does.
I don't think she does, but she should.
I think she should.
Yeah, she should. And she should make a cool electronic album as well.
Mm.
She should just go rogue. Let's just leave the majors and just...
Go rogue, baby.
Go rogue.
Go rogue.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You mentioned Sister, and I just have to say, like, I think Sister is still my favourite track by you.
Thank you.
Because it came out a few years ago, but then you put it on the album, didn't you?
Yeah. It would have come out with like the album, but it was like, you know, pandemic slowed everything down and then I had to release stuff. And then it was like stuff I was working on the album and then ended up coming out then. And then, yeah. So it was like, I ended up with a lot of songs out before the album because trying to keep my presence or whatever.
Yeah, got it.
Mm.
I mean, that tune, like, literally, even thinking about it, just makes me want to cry. It's just so, like, it's such a touching song. And I know it's, like, very personal to you. Like, do you want to, for people who don't know, do you want to tell us what the tune's about?
It's about my half-sister that I discovered during lockdown. Like, I didn't know she existed or whatever. And then I discovered her on Facebook and we kind of connected and we really bonded and got on really well. And it was like a really nice thing happening during like such a rubbish time for everybody. Mm. I kind of led to me writing Sister and it means quite a lot to me. Yeah.
You can hear that as well. And is it Elle Murphy singing as well?
It is. Yeah.
But you've like pitched it
up.
And then there's visuals as well. And they were on Outernet, weren't they?
I think they're still
in Tottenham
there.
Court. Really?
Yeah, I think it's really popular. It's won been nominated for loads of awards.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I mean, that's Alice Bloomfield. She's amazing. She's so talented. But yeah, she's been put forward and nominated for loads of stuff, and it's a real, real cool video. Yeah. Like, I'm really glad I got to work with her on that.
Are visuals something that are quite important to you? Because I feel like you've had some pretty iconic visuals before.
Something I think a lot about, because I like to think of the whole project and everything as a whole art piece, so the artwork's really important to me. And with doing the album, it was really exciting because I got to really think about it and spend money on it, because when you do the album they give you a bit more of a budget and you can actually put your heart and soul into it. And visuals are creating a whole world or a whole concept around something. It's my favorite thing to do, and I like the idea of reinventing myself every time I do something. So the new project is just gonna have a completely different look and a different vibe, and that's fun for me.
I'm excited.
I would love to be a creative director. Sometimes when I see other artists, I was please let me come up with your visuals and concepts.
Yeah.
I want to do that for you.
That would be sick, because some people really struggle with that area of it.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I know a few people that ask me how I come up with mine or do mine. I'm it's a whole thing, and I would love to help people one day. That's why if I have my own label, that would be part of the development, was helping someone have their image as well. And with the music, my idea, if I have a label, it's more, I would love to be more not just putting out stuff, is also helping people with the production and the writing, and really developing somebody into something, and keeping everything in-house and making a career. Similar to I think Channel Trez is his label, who the guy he works with, there's a producer, a guy, he has a few artists that he oversees, and they do everything in-house, and I like that concept.
Is that something you want to do near future, start a label, or?
We'll see. I don't know how, because that takes a lot of time. You should probably know, because we got a badass record label owner right in front of me who's killing it right now, signing some absolute bangers as well. Well done.
Thank you. Thank
I'm very proud of you, because that's a big step.
Yeah. No, thank you. It is, running a label is, what is one of my favorite things I've ever done. Mm-hmm. And I feel all the pieces are coming together, for Utopia. I mean, this is the Utopia podcast, but all the elements are coming in. I see Utopia as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel kind of what you were saying, I love working with new artists and helping develop them, and then giving them a platform and giving them success. And it's the most satisfying thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love it. Uh-huh. But yeah, it does take up a lot of time, babes.
But it's expensive, right? No?
Well, yeah. So we do it with ADA. So we have a distribution deal. So we have budgets for things, but again, running a label, I'm now God, there's so many costs. Everything costs money. Artwork, mixing, production, marketing, everything. It's mad. So you try and do it.
I mean, it's a business as well, isn't it? You know, I assume eventually you would you want to make that money back. And
yeah, eventually. But yeah. I mean, that's not why I'm doing it currently.
Not right now, but you're in the long term.
Yeah, in the long term, yeah. Exactly. But it sounds like it's something that you'd want to do at some point.
Yeah.
You should do it for sure.
I definitely do. But yeah, like I said, it would take, I think also it's a whole job in itself. I don't know how you do it, because you do so many things. I can't believe that you have the time in the day for it. But
well, there's always time.
For me,
don't know.
I struggle writing music and DJing and doing content creation, because that's what we have to do as artists now. But I struggle with all those jobs, and I see you and I'm like, girl,
are you okay?
Are you okay?
You know, I actually am okay, which is great.
Good.
And I feel like you're okay.
I am at the moment. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like there's something we speak about a lot, isn't it? It's how are you doing? How are you really doing? And I always just really appreciate having friends who are in the industry doing something similar, and someone you can actually be real with, mm-hmm. and check in with or get advice from, or you kind of, I find that support really, really important.
Definitely.
And for you, genuinely, what do you like to do when you might be feeling the pressure or struggling, like how do you manage to keep that balance?
I think it's a tough one because it's like, do you ever really keep the balance? Like you try, like I try to cope and find things that help, and there are a few little things that help, like, you know, just taking a break, walking my dog and all that stuff, and being with my partner and speaking to friends and stuff. But I think when you're in the thick of it, nothing really kind of, you're kind of just like surviving until there's a break from all the work and all the stress and stuff like that. I think like this year has been a lot easier because I haven't had the album, so I've been able to just focus on less things and have less stress. And I think for me, that's helped me with it this year, and I'm not ashamed to say it, is being on medication. So for me, that's helped me a lot this year, because I had such a bad time towards the end of last year, and like getting some help, like, and some mental health help, it's made this year so much better. I'm like, why didn't I do it sooner? You know what I mean?
I feel like I can so relate to what you said, like, and looking after your mental well-being in this industry, when you're completely on the go 24/7, it's like the last thing you think of is like, actually, am I okay? And how do I be okay? And actually like stopping and acknowledging maybe you're not okay, or maybe you're a bit depressed, or, you know, like I started therapy this year, which was like really scary and really horrible at first, but like, God, I'm 8 months in, and it's like, I feel completely like I'm evolving as a person, and I'm already seeing the benefits from it. But it's like when you're in the thick of it, you don't even recognize that you're maybe going through something really difficult.
I think, yeah, it's true. You don't. I think for me, it's a little bit, I was a little bit different. I think for you last year, because you're such a happy, bubbly person, like in general, like you're, you know, a ray of sunshine to everybody.
I'm squirming now.
Yeah, but she is. She's a ray of sunshine. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
So I think for you, it was tough because you were in such a busy year. And I think it's probably one of the first times you felt like some of these things, you know. For me, this is not the first time I've had these things. I've always had these things. Do you know what I mean? I'm a person with mental health problems from young. So I'm probably in the wrong industry for someone like that has my kind of brain chemistry or whatever. So I'm not new to these. I wasn't new to these feelings and these stresses, but I think it took me a long time to kind of come to terms with that this is just how I am, and that I think that kind of takes actually a weight off of like, I'm not going to be cured from these, from feeling like this, but there are things that can help, and like going to the doctor and actually engaging in services and stuff like that. Like, I've done lots of therapy over the years, but like before it was like I'd been on medication before, and then I've come off, and then whatever, and then I didn't want to go back on, and I was like fighting that that thing, and then finally just being like, just do it, and then realizing actually I should have done this like in the first place, because I'm so much happier right now. Do you know what I mean? And it's helping me cope a lot better with the anxieties of the job that we're in, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of anxieties.
Yeah, I feel like also if like outwardly something like your career is going really well, it can also then be an easy to then neglect like how you're doing personally as well, and like people constantly being like, oh, you're smashing it, like but then actually
that's the worst thing about like last year, is like everyone's like, you must be so happy. Everything's going so well. And I'm like, actually, I'm not. But you kind of
feel a bit guilty, maybe.
Yeah, like you feel like, am I being ungrateful? You know, because there's so many people that wish they were in this position or want these things. And, you know, but it's tough because it's everything's in like, you know, retrospect, like, you know, what's going on in your life and what has in the past, present, you know, as well. So I think for me, last year was just, a bit of a blur.
But I guess you learn from it, you know, and as you do go into album two mode, slowly but surely, you know that you don't want to feel like that again. And hopefully, you know, maybe there'll be a, like the pressure will be slightly off because you have had to, like, in that first album, like, prove yourself and had all these things. Like,
oh, I don't know. You have to prove yourself. Well, second album. Well, they have rewards for difficult second album, don't they?
God. Okay, fine.
Yeah, because it's actually more difficult. But, you know, because you have to, like, follow up. You know, it has to be better than the last one or whatever it's been. But for
I'm
me.
Trying to be positive.
I know. Guys, I'm sorry. You know what it is though? I did, like, do one thing is, like, first, we were going to do the same kind of schedule as last year, which was like I handed the album in March and then the album comes out, you know, have some singles and the album comes out in October. So it was going to be like I hand this album in, next album in March next year, and again it would come out in October. And I'm still going to aim for March, but I'd said to them, like, I might not be able to do that now. I might push it back.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to come. You know, because I think having that stress of like March is coming, yeah. And I've got this and that, and I'm DJing so much at the moment. I'm enjoying it actually, because last year I didn't enjoy it as much as I should have, because I do enjoy DJing. It's something that I like. I love, you know, I'm in love with dance music, house music, and the culture and everything around it. So like, to be in that position now where I'm really enjoying it, I didn't want anything to like add stress and then take away from that experience. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So like, that's one thing I was like, oh, I'm definitely like going to take control. And I'm just going to be like, no guys, I'm not sure I can do it in March. So no one expects it in March anyway. But I might still deliver it in March. Who knows?
Yeah, good for you. That's putting boundaries in, my friend.
And I guess like now you're established, you've got a fan base and stuff. You probably do feel a bit more empowered to say like, we're going to do this a little bit my way. I don't know.
Yeah, and also like I think the DJing's going so well.
Yeah,
that it's I mean it's completely unrelated to the music, which is, you know, weird and a bit of a thing that I'm trying to work out what to do with. But like that's going so well that I'm just continuing to build that, and I think that keeps me, you know, around. You know, it's like there's no pressure to throw out loads of tracks.
Mm.
You know.
Can you use writing the album as an excuse to take an extended holiday, go somewhere really hot, be like, nobody talk to me.
Inspiration.
I need 3 months in.
Do you know what? Like, that Columbia. Is a dream of me one day to do like a trip and write somewhere really beautiful and just be like that. And because I've yet to experience what it's like to just write music and not have any other stuff to do.
No other stimulus.
Yeah.
It must be hard.
Oh, mate, like, you can't write on the road. It's impossible. That's why the only reason that album got done last year is because COVID happened. Honestly.
Wow.
Because if I'd have been doing the touring and trying to write that, I don't know.
You haven't got the energy, surely.
It's like, just like, when you come back for a day, even if you do have some energy, it's like you start something and it's like, if you have to, like, you don't get into it in a day. You don't get into it in 2 days. Do you know what I mean? Or you might write something and then you scrap that and you start again. And it's like, you need like a week before you're like, okay, now I've got something that sounds okay that could be a song. So it's like, if you're going for a day and you start something and then you leave, it's like you start again every time you're going into the studio. So it doesn't really work. Well, for me anyway, and a lot of people, but there are some superhuman producers that are like on the road producing. Yeah. And like, you know, away.
Some people do. They love working on like trains and planes.
I can't do that, no.
But I mean, this is why I've never produced a tune, because I'm like, I don't have time for this shit. Not yet.
You will.
At some point.
But I feel like my head, like for me, I've got like the, like, I think some people have got good multitasking skills. I haven't got that. And I get really overwhelmed if I've got more than one thing. I like to focus on one thing. Like, I have to be like, if I'm DJing, that's what I'm doing. And I'm looking for music and I'm focused on the set. Mm. If I'm writing music, that's what I'm doing. If I'm, I don't know, doing creative, that's what I'm doing. Like, I can't do all those things at once. Yeah. It drives me crazy. Like, my brain just overloads and it's like, and I'll just do nothing if that's the case. Do you know what I mean? If you want me to do a million things, you'll get nothing out of me.
Do you view yourself like first and foremost either way as like a DJ or a producer?
I'm both, I think. Yeah. You know, yeah,
just I love both. That confidently both.
Yeah, I think I'm both, and I think I enjoy both, and I do a relatively okay job of both. So
oh, babe, relatively okay.
Come on,
don't
come
piss
on.
Me on. I loved what you said earlier about you're enjoying DJing, because I think. Again, this sounds crazy because this is like one of the main things that we do as DJs is playing out to people. But again, I can relate to this because I kind of fell out of love with it last year. And I think it kind of paralleled with like feeling just shit and depressed and whatever. And it's And when we're talking about like people seeing you and being like, you're doing so well, you must be so happy. But actually on the inside, you're like trying to keep afloat and be a functioning human being.
Mm.
And the word like, you're so successful, you're all this success. Like, I think I've come to realize for me, the word success is genuinely having balance, like feeling like, you know, buoyant and happy and good. And enjoying my work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the first time in a few years, this year in particular, work-wise, I feel successful because I'm just really enjoying my work. And like this podcast that we started up doing again, that we were saying earlier, is just such a fun thing to do. And like, it's, you know, we're not making millions from it. We're doing it because we love it and it's enjoyable and we can put time into it. And it's really nice as well that you can... I'm assuming feel that way about your work too and mm-hmm. enjoying it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree. Like I played some shows this year that I just wanted to play for fun, regardless of like fees or whatever. And really like, it's just enjoying like being myself, playing the music I love and seeing other people enjoy it. Like, yeah, it's been a real good year for that for me. Like, and enjoying the places I'm going to for once, like, because before I was so in and out as well. So it's like, oh, you've been everywhere. Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, I've seen none of it. I've seen the hotel room. I've seen the airport and the place I played. I didn't see any of this city or country. But like this year, I've tried to like add extra days or do things like, or meet people, new people, which is, you know, or, you know, like promoted dinners. Like I used to be so tired. I'd be like, I can't do the dinner. I'll just come an hour before my set. Now I'm like, I'm going to go to this promoter dinner. I'm going to meet this new person and, you know, and I've met some really lovely people, which is another highlight of like having this job is like getting to meet so many great people, you know?
Yeah.
Like I really enjoy when I connect with someone new and it's like,
that's why we do it. That's why I do it.
Yeah.
It's the best part.
Yeah.
You played in Detroit as well. You played Movement Festival.
Oh, I love that festival like, so much.
The Mecca.
It was so...
electronic music.
It's so good. Like, the vibe there is so nice. Mm. Like, I don't know, like, to see, as a person of colour as well, to see such a diverse lineup, like, and so many, like, black DJs and stuff playing as well that are, like, you know, the founders of this music.
It's like, and black crowds.
Black crowds as well. And, like, it's hard to explain, do you know what I mean? But it feels really special. You know, it's definitely special to me and also to have them receive me and my music and what I play is the best feeling in the world. Like,
yeah,
playing in Detroit and Chicago and seeing people like it, you're like, ugh, like,
wow,
you know, just
job done.
Yeah, you know, you're just like, I don't care if anyone, no one else likes me or, you know, they like me. If they like me here, that's all that matters, you know. So yeah, it was amazing to play the festival. I had so much fun. I played on DJ Mink's stage. And yeah, and there was just so many legends there. Unfortunately, I didn't get to stay for very long because I had to go to another festival. But you know, they're gifting. Oh my god, they what? Gift you two big bags, one massive bag of weed products. So it had like like chocolate edibles, pre-rolled joints, buds, like just everything, like, you know, weed vape. And I'm not saying, not a little bag, like a big bag,
a suitcase,
and then another big bag of like tobacco products, like vapes and
lovely.
Cigars and
oh my god.
And I mean, I couldn't partake because I had to leave and I couldn't take the weed products with me because you can't in America, even though I was flying to somewhere where it was legal because I was flying to LA, you can't take it in the airport because it's federal or whatever. It's not legal on a federal level. So I had to give it to the receptionist because I was like, I had this bag and I was leaving it. I was like, does anyone here like smoke weed or and the reception was like, I do. She was like and I was like, I've got a big bag of like just everything here. And she was like, thank you. Like she was so happy. She was like, oh, that's what I'm doing tonight. And I'm just
no one else was able to check into the hotel for the rest of the day because the receptionist just
hotel's like, closed.
Yeah, she's like, I'm taking that home. And I was like, I think that was a good gift anyway for her. But but I took the tobacco, I don't even smoke, but I took them because I was just like, you know, when you're just like, it's free and it's so much of it, I'm just gonna take it anyway. Like, so I've got like a bunch of vapes and cigars at home. I'm like,
that reminds me of like when kids would like buy cigarettes and like duty free and then like sell them all at school.
Oh, really? Oh my god, that's wild.
making some cash. That's good business. No, I'm like, I've got vapes. I've got, you know, if anyone wants a vape or I don't know.
That's so funny.
And I might try the cigar just to be like sophisticated one day when I've, maybe I'm celebrating and I'll get, well, they have it, you know, whiskey in a tumbler and I'll get
a Cuban cigar.
Yeah, and I'll just sit there like.
Have you tried a cigar that actually butters?
No, I don't like tobacco. I find smoking gross anyway, but.
That's a bit of a wedding thing, smoking a cigar.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll bring it.
The wedding.
I'll just bang it on my. I will cough my guts up. Even though actually you're not supposed to inhale cigars that you hold in your mouth.
But then what's the point?
So then you don't get lung cancer, you get mouth cancer instead.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Good.
Yeah. So they can make you quite. They can make you quite sick as well, like the first time you smoke, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I've smoked cigarettes and stuff, but not like not regularly. I've tried it, and stuff like, and it definitely makes me more like nauseous and just tobacco to me is just gross. I don't understand it, but yeah, some people love it. I do get the vapes though because they taste like sugar. Yeah, they're just sugary.
That's the danger.
What's but even that, like I tried one of the tobacco vapes just to like, I was just like, oh, let me see what it's like. And I coughed. I was like coughing my guts. I was like, how do you do this? Like,
But it feels like a vapor, like kind of like, I don't like how it feels. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay. There's a couple more things I want to squeeze in. Okay. I'm aware of time as well, but I don't want to be negative, but I do want to touch on this is you did your Boiler Room last year and I mean, I watched it. I thought it was sublime, very fun, stunning. But you were very honest about when you posted it and you said you weren't happy with it. And you're just in general, not a fan of live streams. And like previously you've had just not nice experiences with comments from waste men on their keyboard warriors. And
probably
and
the same guys that send me pics in my promo email, probably the same guys that are around and stuff.
Dodgy individuals out there. And you said, like, you don't know if you'd want to do a live stream ever again. And I guess we've had a bit of time from that distance from that now. You know, how do you feel about it now? And how do you navigate those sort of moments where you've got horrible comments or you something's online that you're not happy with as well?
I think on reflection, like I wasn't happy with the Boiler Room, but I don't think I like it was necessarily actually a bad, like I didn't do any mistakes or like everything was fine. It was just, I was just in a bad place and the whole thing just felt stressful. Do you know what I mean? And I wasn't as prepared because I found out quite late about it. And, and after the, obviously the Mixed Lab thing, it was kind of like that was in my head as well. But on reflection, it wasn't bad. Do you know what I mean? It was fine. And I think there's a lot of pressure when you do like a Boiler Room or any kind of live stream. It's like, cause it's like everyone wants that viral moment. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and it's like this pressure of like, it must be the best Boiler Room ever. And that's going to be what breaks you, you know what I mean, and you're gonna go, you know, that's what's gonna make you go to the top is from this, because some DJs have got there got there from having big Boiler Rooms and stuff, so that added pressure on it as well. But on reflection now, I'm like, I'm open to live streams now. I recorded two. I'm not going to put both out. I did one, the Defected Croatia one was recorded, and then my set at High for Martina's Bros was recorded. I'm gonna see which one I like the most, but the only thing is that I forgot again, you know, like with the Mixed Lab thing, it was like, oh, the no bra thing and whatever that nonsense. And then I was like, I finished the live stream of the Martina's Bros, and then it just dawned on me that I was wearing like a crop top, and I was like, oh, I done it again, because if this goes out, I'm only gonna get comments on
wearing a crop top.
Yeah, because I was wearing like, you know, like the Prada like kind of thing, and like I was like, am I gonna get, now I'm like in my head now I'm thinking, because I feel like that was probably the better recorded one and probably would be the better one to go out, but now I'm like worried, like, is that gonna spark some
but this,
something
this makes me sad and angry, because the fact that like you can do a stream and be like, oh, that was sick, you know, and then be like, oh wait, I'm gonna get, well, you're expecting negative comments from people because of what you're wearing.
I think I will, but
which is insane.
Because, and the annoying thing is because like there's this whole thing of like, is it like, when I did the Mixed Lab, it was like, she knows what she was doing, and like it was like some sort of weird calculated like I would want that or whatever. And I was like, no, that's just what I normally wear. I was just wearing normally. And then I was like really worried about the high thing, because I was like, I actually like, I knew I was being recorded, but then I kind of like half forgot when I got dressed and didn't really think about it, because I was just like, I wanted to look cool and like,
and be comfortable and just wear what you want to wear.
I was like, I'm in Ibiza, it's hot, I'm going to like, you know, look nice and whatever. And then I got there and I didn't really think about the recording. And then it was only till after I was like, damn, I should have thought about what I was going to wear, because now I'm like, people are going to be like, oh, she wore that on purpose. She, you know, and I'm just like, please shut up.
We're just gonna clip that and send that to people when they piss us off. I mean, what like generally those people who take the time out of their day to let you know how they feel about what you're wearing, like what do you actually have to say to them if they were listening to this right now?
You can't say anything to, because they're the kind of people that you can't reason with, and that's the problem. They don't care, you know, so I have nothing to say to them, because they're not important and they're not important to my career, they're not important to my life, and you know, I want them to go and seek help, because why you feel need to be on the internet commenting and being mean to people, I don't know why, but you've obviously got a very sad existence as far as I'm concerned.
It is jobless behaviour, isn't it?
Yeah, almost like, or just jealousy or whatever.
I think it is jealousy, because then you go on their thing and they're like these like old
Well, they you know, wannabe DJs or failed DJs, and they want to take it out on somebody. And I see a lot of this lately in general of DJs feeling hard done by like older school DJs or DJs that haven't quite done as well as some of the newer DJs or whatever. Where they think they should be where someone else is, and I think this applies to why there's a lot of hate to female DJs or DJs that are female presenting or whatever. There's a lot of hate because they want to blame their sex for why they did better than they did. But the same applies to DJs that are, you know, like viral DJs or DJs that are like dance or DJs that are, you know, they got this whole comment of poser DJ. I see it in the comments all the time. Oh, they're a poser DJ.
She's not mixing. So she's just dancing.
Yeah, and it's and
what?
Yeah, and it's like in between you can dance, you know, you don't have to be
do
like
you want everyone stand there looking really bored like
thank you.
But it's more like even like influencer DJ and blah 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 and these person and that person, and I see a lot of even some DJs that are they do okay and are quite well respected will be complaining or creating whole threads to like bash someone for doing something virally or whatever, and I'm like, you need to realize like they're not taking a space that you were ever going to get. And that's not like a diss. It's like those people that say someone really big that's like, you know, a personality that's a DJ. I don't want to name anyone, but like someone really big. It's like they're getting booked for certain shows and getting paid certain money and certain people come to see them. Those people that come to see them were never going to go see you.
Yeah,
you're not what they were looking for. So it's not like you, like if they didn't exist, you would suddenly be them.
Yeah.
It's a different audience. Like there's like... If you want to play there, then do what they do, you know?
Yeah. There's also like a bit of a incessant need to like constantly comment on what other people are doing.
Many of things that I see online, I'm like, yeah, I think that's lame.
Yeah.
Or I think that's stop doing that or whatever. But I'm not going to comment that because it's none of my business. Like if that's what I do and people want to see that or want to hear that, that's fine. And two, it's like, I'm in my lane and that don't look sideways. People are too busy worried about what everyone else is doing, and it's so silly. There's room for everybody, and there's that's why men are angry at women, like, oh, you know they think they're gonna have the slot you had. You weren't gonna have that slot you had. So I mean, like, you were never gonna have that slot, so just get over it. Like, there's no point in hating on the DJ. You're not gonna have that slot. Stop moaning about people.
I'm just imagining I open my Instagram one day, I've like posted my represent show and I just got a little notification, Tisha commented, that's so lame.
Yeah.
Lame.
No.
Lame.
Loser.
No, but I think things all the time. It's like, don't you? Like, you have things that, like, thoughts pop in your head like, oh, that's I don't like that. Oh, that's stupid.
Or like, oh, I don't think that outfit's the best. Yeah, same, I'm yeah, never yeah, ever going to go
I'm in that. In my head, yeah, I might be someone I'm like, oh, I don't like that top. Like, why would they wear that? Yeah. But I wouldn't be like, why are you wearing that stupid top? Like,
she knows what she's doing.
Like, there's so many things all the time. I think, like, you know, everyone has a negative thought about something or a jealous thought as well. I'm not above being jealous of people. Yeah. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone feels jealousy. Everyone wants, you know, want something that someone else has. Yeah. There's plenty of times I have to check myself and be like, stop it. Like, that person's a nice person. You're just being jealous. Like, yeah. Get over it. So, but it's like the need to then like take that jealousy and then try to bring that person down to make yourself feel better. Cut it out. Like, as far as I'm concerned. And DJs need to learn like to stop looking sideways.
Yeah. You tell them, Tisha. You tell them. So as we come to the end, this has been fun, by the way. Wow. Very fun. You've still got loads of things. Like, you're bringing Jackfruit to New York and LA. Yes. Your club nights. Yes. And you're like doing your live show this summer. Mm-hmm. Which is, I went to your dress rehearsal. Dress rehearsal? I don't know what it was.
Yeah, it was like a...
What was it?
It's a production rehearsal.
It was like a pantomime. It wasn't a pantomime.
No. It was just like a rehearsal in a space where you could have all the productions and the lights and see everything run together.
That was it.
We invited a few people down to see it so they could see what it looked like and also to give us a little mini audience before we took it out.
Yeah, that was it. Mm-hmm. And you're there on the bass, slapping the bass, bass facing, learning to your tunes. Have you been enjoying that?
It's been great, yeah. It's been fun. It's interesting and different and just a whole different adventure. Expensive and long, but fun.
Okay.
Have you had to learn a lot of new stuff to do it? Or
I had to learn to play the bass, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's a bass queen now.
That's sick.
I wouldn't quite say bass queen, but I'm trying.
Shredding the bass.
Shredding is an exaggeration, but I'm playing it. I do play it.
Yeah.
I think the sexiest instrument, arguably.
The bass. The bass.
Is pretty sexy,
I think it's sexy.
But yeah. I'm a fan of the drums as well. Yeah. I don't play the drums, but when I see someone play the drums, I'm like,
I really love the drums. It's on my list to do drums. So yeah, what have you got coming up then aside from those bits?
Obviously the single's coming out. I think that's next month.
The Ellie Goulding.
Ellie Goulding.
And Gregory Porter single. Yep, okay.
And then I've got Field Day this weekend, but that's probably passed by the time this comes out. And Warehouse Project, which will be great because it's going to be in a dark room. So it's going to be great for the lights.
Oh, what, a live show at Warehouse Project?
Yeah,
okay.
Repercussions. Yeah, wow. Yeah, in the depot. Yeah,
amazing.
So it's going to be really cool because it's going to be dark and loads of lights.
Yeah.
Because Field Day is going to be like this date. I'm like
middle of the day.
So it's not, you don't get the same effect.
It's going to be a sunny day as well.
Yeah.
Which will be good.
It'll be good. Yeah. And what else have we got coming up? I don't know. You know, Jackfruit shows and
just living, laughing,
living life.
Getting married.
And just, I don't know. I'm going really hard on the DJing at the moment. So I'm just like focusing on that. And my aim is to just overtake Ibiza. No, I'm joking. But it is.
Yeah, residency next summer, surely.
I want to take over. No, I'm joking. But you know, like, I love smoking.
It's not a joke.
It's not a joke, no. You know, Smoking Joe?
Yeah, love
and, like,
her.
She's amazing. Like, she was like queen of Ibiza. Mm. And she was like the first woman to get number one DJ on DJ Mag.
So the first and the only still.
And the first and the only number one DJ. And can you imagine?
That was in 93, by the way.
I know.
Wow.
And she was playing, you know, proper like house tunes and in Ibiza, like, can you imagine that now? Someone like that getting number one DJ, like, that's like impossible because everyone's, it's like all EDM or like not that I don't, that's but bad, but it is like mainstream. That genre, mainstream genre, is no one that's like that kind of DJ, and it was, and she was the first woman, and she was number one DJ in the world. That's insane. And it, people don't talk enough about her. I met her the other day and I was like, people need to like hype you up more and like make a thing about this, because that's an achievement. And she was like absolutely queen of Ibiza. She was a badass. Mm. So she's like my inspiration. I'm like, I want to be queen of Ibiza. No, I'm joking. Fine, I'm not joking.
But it's not true. Feel like there's going to be a Netflix documentary called Queen of Ibiza.
Yes. I can see it. Babes, I think you could literally do anything you want to do. So fully behind it.
I would love to get, imagine like getting in the top DJ ratings. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I would never be number one, but I would love to just like break in there. That'd be so sick. But like just playing, but not playing like mainstream, playing like,
I think anything could happen, especially how quickly things travel.
Mm.
It could happen. It will happen.
we'll see. We'll manifest it.
Yeah. Got to find a place to hang the Grammy certificate first.
Yeah. I don't want a Grammy, but that might not happen either, but we'll try.
We'll put that on the list.
We'll put it on the list, yeah.
Before you go, we ask everyone this at the end. What is your utopia?
What does that even mean?
It can mean whatever you want it to be. It could be a place. It could be like a vision for the future. It could be whoever you're with. It could be a smell. It could be anything.
My utopia is a Sunday cooking a roast with my dog and the love of my life. That's my utopia.
My God. That's so lovely. I love a Sunday roast.
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
it's just I do quite a good roast.
Do you? Yeah. What meat?
I'm a chicken. I don't normally like chicken, but I've mastered it.
A home cooked chicken. Roast chicken.
It was really, I make it nice and moist. It's not dry, and I stuff it with butter and herbs and lemon, and it's delish.
What trimmings are we talking? Yorkshire pudding.
Yorkshire pudding, of course. And then we got parsnips. Honey roasted parsnips.
Oh my God.
And carrots. And I'm a sucker for kale. I don't know why. I'm just like obsessed with kale. So I always add kale. What else we got? We've got like proper red wine gravy. And then I put the chicken juices in the gravy as well. So that like seasons it. And like, I haven't done it in a while, but I find it really therapeutic.
I feel the same way. I'm getting so excited.
And I don't cook on much. But when I do that, if I've got free time and I get to do that, it's like a total like break from like everything. I just feel really like relaxed doing it. And I love making something delicious and watching someone enjoy it.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite dish, and I'm being like, okay, let me see you enjoy it.
And then a little apple crumble.
Oh yeah.
I want a roast now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm starving. Well, Tisha, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck with everything, and
thank you for having me.
Love you.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.